You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode number 17, our one-year anniversary show for January 15th. Make that January 17th, 2008. And welcome to All Things Azeroth. That is right, this is the one-year episode. This will be released on the 15th of January, and it is the one-year anniversary of when All Things Azeroth, as the podcast itself, launched. And it's a rather fun and very exciting occasion for me, because there was times when I didn't think that it would last 6 months, never mind a year or so. We have had some ups and downs, we've had some good times and some bad times, we've had hosts, we've lost hosts, but I've always been here, and I know a few of you have always been here, and it's always good to welcome back old friends, welcome back new friends, and reminisce about the times that have been. Before we go into that, though, we do need to look back at some of the news of the past couple of weeks. And the big news, of course, is that yesterday, which is on the 8th of January, according to the date it is today, patch 2.3.2 went live on the public realms. There has been yet no announcement or revelation or indication of when we might see the beta for the Wrath of the Lich King. There's no indication of when the PTRs for 2.4 will go live, but I do hope that we will soon see some more information, some more revelations, and some more fun information about what's coming in the expansion and in 2.4 for all classes, all players, and all lovers of World of Warcraft. Some of the highlights that we've had in 2.3.2 was that it was a lot more change-filled than a normal patch would be. There's something for almost every class. Hunters got improved pet leveling. They can now drop more than one freezing trap at a time. And a variety of other changes that were improvements and unfortunately some nerfs to the class. But overall, they are good changes. Other classes like druids and rogues got a lot of changes. But I think mages got the biggest one other than hunters in that they actually had a change to their talents. In that ice block is now trainable by all mages. And it was replaced by cold snap and icy veins in the frost talent trees. There was unfortunately some changes that I did not like much in the patch, and I'm sure that I will continue not liking them as the game progresses. The brooms, which were part of the Hallow's End event, have had a change to their expiration form. Before, it was played time. Basically, only as long as you were logged in was the broom expiring. Well, according to the patch notes, which I have in front of me here, the various Hallow's End broom mounts now have their proper real-time rather than game-time duration of 14 days. Now, by the sounds of that, you would think that this was a bug, not intended, not promoted, or a mistake of some type. But when you look at what was said after the Hallow's End event launched, there was a blue post, and I don't recall who said it, but I do recall vividly that there was a blue post saying that this was a feature of them, that they would not be going away anytime soon. And it kind of angers me a little and frustrates me that the broom mounts are now said to be a bug in that they were played time instead of real time. You can't say that it's a feature at one point and then say that it's a bug later without people asking why, and I'm actually surprised that Blizzard hasn't been asked why by more people. Yes, they're a novelty. Yes, they were probably never meant to last forever. But in the end, I know that I'm not the only one, and I know there may be many other people who would like to know why Blizzard decided to make these rooms expire as they have. And actually, I'm looking at the WoW Insider post, which was released on the 27th of October, in which they point out that Bornak points out that the brooms have a 14-day played timer, not a 14-day real timer. Now, it's interesting to see, for me at least, that 2 months later, Blizzard's tune seems to have changed in that now they no longer want these brooms in-game. Other questions still arise as to what is it exactly? Is it 14 days after they're equipped, 14 days after they're acquired? If people have brooms in their banks or on their person that they've not equipped yet, does that mean that those brooms will expire in 14 days, whether they're used or not? The reason I ask this is because I have two Lobby Draenei. They both have mounts, they both have the actual physical mount, but right now they're both using brooms because brooms look cool. Some disagree with me on that, but that's my opinion. And I want to know whether I can expect those brooms that are in banks or in mail or simply not equipped on the character, I want to know whether those are going to be vanishing anytime soon. If they will, I would like to know when and why, because I don't really feel that it's fair for something that is not used to expire whenever it chooses to. That's of course just me, and I'm probably unique in this fact, but I just feel that it's not very fair. I don't think Blizzard should be promoting something as a feature and having community managers who state that they love a fact that something is as it is and then going to change it a short time later. This may just be me. There are a lot more changes in this patch and there's a lot more new things. And one thing that I really like is that I have actually had almost no mods break. There have been a few mods that have been updated, ones that they knew beforehand would require changes because the PTRs have been up for so long for this patch because of the holidays. But overall, I think Blizzard has done a fairly decent thing with this patch. They've fixed a few things. The Hunter Pet increase of XP has been something that Hunters have been very concerned about, because prior, their pets weren't getting the increased XP from quests that the players were, and Hunters were quickly out-leveling their pets by a great deal. Before this patch came out, players would almost have to exclusively kill mobs to get XP, and forego any quests at all for their pet to have any chance to keep up with them at least. It's ironic though. I recall when my hunter was low and just leveling up, my pet would be at my level about halfway through the level, and there'd be about half a level where my pet would do nothing but just sit there and not level at all. Now my hunter is level 41 and my pet can't even keep up with me. Although of course that's probably my fault because my pet is also a level 23 when my character was a level 35 character. Of course things do change and we have to adjust to those. Another thing that I'm just looking at in the patch notes, I spent 20, I believe, Badges of Justice on an Idol of the Unseen Moon. What happens is, upon triggering, this increases your spell damage by a certain amount for about 10 seconds. Well, the problem with this is that item now has a 30-second cooldown. It's a 10-second buff. Doesn't last long enough, in my opinion. I think it should be at least 15 seconds where I can actually get two casts in. And it now has a 30-second cooldown, so I can have that buff for only 10 seconds of 30 seconds. It's kind of frustrating, and I will, of course, need to find some way to figure out when the cooldown is up so that I know when to use my Moonfire again, because it only triggers off of Moonfire. But again, Blizzard, I guess, saw a problem, and they fixed it. I don't like the fix, but it's the way things are, and I will learn to adjust to it. That's pretty much all the highlights I have from this patch. I'm sure there's other ones that I haven't mentioned that players feel is important to mention, and I'm sure that I'll get many emails to med2008@allthingsazeroth.com. But do check out the patch notes for yourself. I find a lot of people don't read the patch notes and then are surprised by changes. There's one really easy solution for this, and that is read the patch notes thoroughly, and if you have any questions, ask. And I'm sure that Blizzard will be happy to, or has already answered those questions already. And I'm sure that Blizzard will be happy to, or has already answered those questions for you. As with any patch that comes out, there are bugs, there's issues, there's problems. And one of the ones that I found most humorous was the fact that people who had the original World of Warcraft Collector's Edition from the original launch of the game, well, those accounts all got the voucher in the mail upon logging in for the first time after the patch hit. I'm pretty sure that I know why this would have happened, and I don't know if it is exactly a bug, more of an inadvertent effect of trying to give people who spent $5,000 on a World of Warcraft laptop a little gift. The problem is that the people who bought the laptop, they got a coupon that allowed them to upgrade their account, be it the one they got with the game or their own account, to the Collector's Edition for both the expansion and the original launch of the game. The problem with this, unfortunately, is that it only accounted for characters that were new for the original Collector's Edition pets. Well, if you, and this is entirely hypothetical here, if you purchased the game and then proceeded to go out and upgrade your account, forgoing the fact that you could not get the Northshire Abbey or whatever the coupon was, voucher, whatever it is, if you upgrade your account realizing you could not get this, but then a week or two later, Blizzard gave you a gift of the Collector's Edition pet in your mail, well, guess what? You've just gotten a gift. Considering you spent $5,000 on a World of Warcraft laptop from Dell, this is not a gift that would be turned down. In fact, according to some people, this would be a gift that you well earned by spending so much money on a laptop that is, in some people's opinions, highly overpriced. That is my opinion as to why they would have done this. Whether it's just a bug, hey, it may be. Is it a bug that helps out people who have spent a lot of money on a Blizzard-themed product? Yes. I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist here, but that's my logic of why I could see that Blizzard would have done this. I guess we'll see when Blizzard has a comment of their very own. For those who already have the pet, or who have already used their voucher and destroyed the pet at some point, unfortunately you cannot regain the pet once you've already completed the task, once you've already completed the quest once. According to Drisk on the matter, you can enjoy the epic quest of clicking the delete button on it, though. Of course, there's other issues that have been reported for the patch. MMO Champion has what they say is their list of 2.3.2 bugs, but to me it just looks like a repost of a list that they made when the 2.3.2 patch was on the PTRs, and I don't think they've actually done any verification to see whether any of those bugs were fixed, corrected, or whatever. There was a mention that Hunter Volley got returned back to its original form. I have not been able to test that. I did try and test that once, but I got no animation at all, so I don't know if that's just a bug on my side or whatever, but in the end, the patch 2.3.2 has gone pretty smoothly, with only a few issues, and none of which I feel actually huge issues. Do check out the show notes at allthingsazeroth.com for more information and more links to what has happened and what has gone down for patch 2.3.2. As the last episode of All Things Azeroth was recorded and released before the new year hit, we missed out on a lot of the interesting stories of looking back at the game in the year of 2007. WoW Insider, being an amazing and insightful news source, though not always crediting the people they should in their stories, did release a top 10 WoW stories of 2007. One of the more interesting stories that they have here is the number 10 story, in that a Norwegian boy used the feigned death, basically pretending he was dead, which he said he learned from World of Warcraft, to get rid of a moose who was attacking his sibling. Don't quite know if I buy this, but I could definitely see that it'd be possible, I guess. I don't really know on that one, but other big stories of 2007 was that Nillium beat Archimonde and the game, essentially, within a very short period of time after the 2.1 patch hit. Another big story was that Blizzard disbanded an extreme erotic role-playing guild, a guild who had absolutely no control over their members, no desire to control their members, and no willingness to put a limit as to what kind of stuff they were going to allow of their members, leading to some very questionable and very disturbing erotic role-play on behalf of their members. The community manager, Sarek, pretty much had a major meltdown, I guess, on the forums, trashing and many people in the forums going absolutely ballistic, and was unfortunately never seen again. There was a young boy named Ezra Chatterton, who is unfortunately fatally ill, and his one request from the Make-A-Wish Foundation was to spend a day at Blizzard. Well, Blizzard obliged, and they gave him the opportunity to make his character outfitted in whatever he wanted. He was able to create his own mount, which is the Phoenix mount we see off Adal now. And it was a great feel-good story and a great thing that Blizzard did. It gave a dedicated and caring WoW player a chance to meet and talk to some of the people who make games that he absolutely loves. And it was great to see that Blizzard was willing to put the time and energy in to make this kid's wish and dream come true. In the end, it's a very touching and very caring story, and I'm sure for anybody who sees the Phoenix Mount on their server, you'll be happy to recall fondly the person who created that mount. World of Warcraft hit TV huge this year. In 2006, we had the World of Warcraft South Park episode, Make Love, Not Warcraft. Well, this year we had World of Warcraft in a Toyota commercial. We had several TV spots, including Mr. T, William Shatner, Vern Troyer, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and many more celebrities, and I'm sure there'll be many more in 2008 as well. 2007 brought, I would say, one of the most rage-inducing and equally the most farmed boss in the World of Warcraft universe. The Headless Horseman dropped what were equal to Kara epics and gave people a reason to participate in seasonal events. Of course, those people who already had those Kara epics were pretty much furious, or at least a very good many of them anyway. Blizzard had to deal with some very angry players, some very frustrated raiders, and some very happy people. And beyond casual versus raid, this problem, this debate, made the entire discussion 10 times worse than it normally would be, and made everybody who was involved in the discussion really hot under the collar. In the end, Blizzard, I think, did a favor to those who don't have the time or the ability to go into Kara 24/7, those who can't go to Gruul's or BT, and who just want an epic or two. I look forward to the return of the Headless Horseman in 2008, and hope that by the time the Horseman comes out in 2008 in October, that my two little Draenei will be high enough that they too can go in and vie for some of the gear that may drop off the Headless Horseman, assuming he's back in this year. Patch 2.3 brought some amazing things. Patches alone between patches and the expansion in 2007, I would say we had more than enough news to cover. The expansion hit on the 16th of January, some amazing changes and some hilarious rushes to 70 on many realms. We had 2.1 shortly thereafter, it was in March, and that brought the Black Temple, Mount Hyjal, and some changes and fixes to what happened in the expansion. We also had 2.2, which brought voice chat, which is unfortunately one of the most lackluster features of World of Warcraft, and probably going to be one of the least used features, simply because it sounds so horrible. 2.3 brought the guild banking system, and of course, Zul'aman. That pretty much rounded out what we were expecting out of the expansion. Black Temple, Mount Hyjal, Nether Drakes, all of this stuff was stuff that, in 2.1, brought what we were expecting to come. Voice chat, guild banking, and Zul'aman, those were mentioned, but they weren't highlights of the expansion. They were mentioned, though, and this, as I said, did essentially bring to a close all of the stuff that we were expecting in the expansion. 2.4, Sunwell Plateau, will be an addition, something we weren't expecting, but sort of rounding out the expansion as we know it. It will essentially also be the lead-up to the next expansion, Lich King, which will be coming at some point, we hope, in 2008. I, again, personally feel it'll be in the summertime, but if we don't have a beta announced by the middle of February, I don't see it happening by the summertime. There's just not enough time. They need a significant testing period, and as we don't even know where they stand at this point on some of the later zones, I just don't know if it'll be out in the summertime if we don't see a beta test very soon. BlizzCon, as I said last episode, was one of the big news stories of 2007, and that is where they announced the Wrath of the Lich King, that's where they announced some of the changes, and that's really where they discussed some of the stuff that had happened since 2005's BlizzCon, where they discussed what they were thinking and what they were planning to do as the game and the content progressed. And of course, the number one news story in World of Warcraft for 2007 was the Burning Crusade. It was the expansion, the first expansion, and it broke records. It did what no other game could do. It basically did what World of Warcraft did for MMOs when it was released. It broke records, it shattered all previous expectations, and brought a whole new generation of World of Warcraft players to the front. What do you think was the top story of 2007? Do you think World of Warcraft Burning Crusade, was that your top story of the year? Was hitting 70 your top story for yourself? For yourself, for your characters, in your World of Warcraft. What was your top story? Let me know at med2008 at allthingsazeroth.com. Rounding out our end of 2007 stories, Blizzard, as always, rounded out the year with their usual contingent of fireworks every hour on the hour in all the major cities in Azeroth and Outlands. and did a lot of cool stuff and a lot of interesting quests for the end of the year. I did not participate in any of these. I was actually at a party that I was working security for, but it was interesting to see what Blizzard was doing, and maybe one of these years I'll be at a party with actual Wi-Fi and I can log into game and wish everybody on Argenton a happy new year. One of the effects that we are going to feel, some people think, and I think we're already seeing in some small part in World of Warcraft now, is the effect of having a bunch of new players who got the game for Christmas and who are just logging in for the first time. WoW Insider calls this the beginning of noob season. Well, I don't want to say that because I don't like the word noob first off, and I don't like how derogatory it can be to people, I guess. The game is for everybody, and everybody should feel welcome, even if it's not in the places they wish. Will there be a lot of new players? Yes. Will there be some downsides and side effects to the changes in leveling in the 2.3 patch? Yes. Will it be harder to convince people how to play the game? Well, of course. It always is. And it will be significantly increased in the coming times of the post 2.3 patch. But we as players need to embrace new players, and we need to try to show them how to play. So here's a program that I want to suggest. Adopt a new player. With the class that you play, I want you to go out and go to a newbie zone, a low 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 area. And I want you to offer to mentor somebody in how to play your class. Even if you only mentor them in the 1 to 20s, I think that as experienced level 70 players, we have the ability to shape and form how these people play their class, play the game, and treat other players. I think that we would have a lot less problems if this would happen more often, where new players got mentored by a high-level player. Do you have to go and tell them that they need to play it a certain way? No. Do you need to go spend 1 to 70 helping them out by power leveling them? No. I don't want you to power level them at all. I think that it's important to let them level by themselves. But if they have questions on what use is this spell, or how do I use my spells in the proper order, or what's the best way to play the game, I think that we as experienced players, players who've been playing the game for a while, I think we can provide a great service and great help to players who are new to the game. And I think this will eliminate or at least reduce the effects of this rush of new players that we're going to have as the next expansion comes close and as the game becomes more popular. Now to the Wrath of the Lich King news, or stories at the very least. I would like to point out that almost all of my stories here are from WoW Insider, so I do apologize for not having any other sources, but my other sources have been fairly limited lately, and there's really not much to talk about when it comes to World of Warcraft in the new year at this point. Players, ever since the expansion was announced, have been asking one huge question. What will be the next mount? People originally thought that the engineering mount was going to be saved for the Wrath of the Lich King. It wasn't. Players also originally thought, or expected or suspected at least, that the Nether Drakes, or a new form of Drake, would be available in the expansion. People are, and have been for a while, asking whether or not we can expect to see a reduced mount cost for the epic birds, or epic flying, in order to make it more feasible for players to actually purchase one once the new expansion comes out. Answers to the questions of mounts in the expansion have been many, have been varied, and have not always concurred with each other, I guess you would say. Bornak was recently asked the same question. What's happening in the new expansion regarding mounts? Of course, the expected answer was, we'll see. Here's what we do know, though. You will not be able to fly for at least some parts of Northrend. How they'll do this, the mechanic of it, is not known at this point. But I would imagine, at the very least, that we will see some small amount or some small effect where players will have to do a quest or something of that sort in order to obtain the ability to fly. I don't think that they're going to make entire zones unflyable. Even in the current expansion, Burning Crusade, the only time when you can't fly in a certain zone is when you're on a broom in Zangar Marsh and it's raining. Again, I don't feel that this is feasible or likely that they will remove the ability to fly in certain zones. I think that, and this is just a guess, but I think it's a pretty decent guess at this point, that they are going to have a quest to get something like a de-icer or something like that, that will finally allow your bird to actually fly without having to get a huge amount of ice on its wings once it reaches that certain level. When will we be able to do this? I would say that good bet is probably around level 78. That is about the same time that they let us start flying in Outlands, with level 68 being the flight form for the druids, and it doesn't force us or allow us to go past too much content. 8 levels of not being able to fly is a pretty decent amount of content for us to be forced into doing. What kind of mounts can we see? Well, I think that there's some pretty obvious ones. We could have a blue drake drop from the Nexus, which is where you'll find Malagos and his blue dragon flight. We could see a reward of a red dragon if you get exalted with the red dragon flight, which we've already been told will also be involved in that encounter with Malagos. We'll see siege weapons, which I don't know if those will be drivable or otherwise controllable. I think they'll be restricted to battlegrounds and the PvP zone like Wintergrasp, and I think they'll be very limited in what they can do, and I don't think I can see those as actual mounts. But again, I've been proven wrong before, and we'll see what happens on that one. Will there be new mounts? Of course. Blizzard can't go a patch these days without putting out some kind of a new mount or some form of new transportation. 2.2 brought us the ability to get a variety of different locations and a variety of different flight paths. 2.1 and 2.3 both brought new flying mounts in the Flying Machine in 2.3, the Nether Drake in 2.1, and the Hippogriff in 2.3 as well. In the end, Blizzard will tell us. Blizzard will give us the lowdown or the opinions and the facts behind what we will see in the next expansion. And time will tell what is the most likely mounts. And I suspect that it will not be too long into the beta test that we will start seeing some information leaked as to what we'll see in the early and even later parts of Northrend. At BlizzCon in the summer of 2007, when they announced the Wrath of the Lich King beta, Blizzard gave us the impression that Horde and Alliance would be entering the area of Northrend from different directions. One would be coming in from the Howling Fjord, one would be coming in from the Borean Tundra. But Jeff Kaplan recently announced, or revealed, that we'll actually be able to both enter from both sides. Alliance can choose between the Howling Fjord or a massive stronghold in Borean Tundra, and Horde can either go into the new Forsaken Lands in the Howling Fjord or Garrosh Hellscream's area, Warsong Fortress, in the Borean Tundra. This gives us not two different places for players to go, but essentially four different places, because not all Alliance will be in the Howling Fjord. Not all Horde will be in the Borean Tundra. I think that we'll find players that will be going between both of them. I don't know how we'll get there, whether there'll be a flight path direct from one to the other, but I'm sure that Blizzard will announce this and reveal this as we get closer to the release of the Wrath of the Lich King. Some of the other stuff that Jeff Kaplan released when he talked to PC Zone is that Northrend won't be a purely snow-covered area. It's not just the icy north. There will be forests, there will be other terrain, there will be the Dragon Blight, which is the graveyard of the dragons. There'll be a variety of different places and different areas and different climates we can reach. Just like we don't have just the Zangar Marsh, but we have the Hellfire Peninsula. We have Netherstorm, we have the dry and arid Blades Edge Mountains, we have the sickly looking Shadow Moon Valley, we have the lush and plains like Nagrand. We have a variety of places, and that's not going to change when we go to Northrend. It'll be a variety of different climates and a variety of different places we can go to. Another thing that we heard at BlizzCon, but I agree with WoWinsider here, we need to reinforce this. In the Burning Crusade expansion, until 2.1 hit, the only thing we saw of Illidan was that he was shouting occasionally saying that he had beaten Arthas and that he was the king of Outlands. Well, Arthas is going to play a far bigger role. Of course, we already know about the old Strathholm Caverns of Time instance where we'll have to be fighting alongside Arthas. But throughout our experiences in Northrend, we will actually be interacting with Arthas in a variety of different ways. How we'll be doing that, I don't know yet. But Blizzard has made it clear that it will not be just he will be the epitome of war. We will see Arthas in our day-to-day lives in Northrend. And I don't know whether I like that, but it's definitely exciting to see what they're going to be doing for that. And a little touch, just a slight touch of 2007 year in review stuff, but this is more of a looking towards 2008 thing that was released by Yahoo. The only expansion in their list of top 10 games to look forward to in 2008 was Wrath of the Lich King. Some of the games that were also on the list was Halo, Final Fantasy, Metal Gear Solid, and Grand Theft Auto franchises. Blizzard is that good. They have created games that are that anticipated that in a list of 10 games to look forward to in the coming year, Wrath of the Lich King is the only expansion on that list. When will it be out? We don't know, and they don't either. I don't think it'll be 2009. I really don't see it. So will it be 2008? Yes, it'll probably be 2008 at some point. Again, we don't know when though. And now for some of the last news-based posts that I want to delve a bit into, and more into the fluff or the thinking posts. Some of these will go based upon just the title. Some will actually go based upon the content of the article. So let me start off with the first one, which is a question of, how is a game you're supposed to enjoy it? This is a game of playing and enjoying yourself. If you don't enjoy yourself, why are you playing? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? If you aren't enjoying yourself playing this game, the question is, why are you playing it? Why are you paying $15 to $20 a month to play the game? It's a good question, I think. A question that very few people actually ask themselves. You need to be able to enjoy yourself, whether that is questing, whether that is farming, whether that is role-playing, PvP, raiding, doing heroic dungeons until your eyes bleed, whatever. Whatever you enjoy doing, whatever turns your crank, whatever makes you enjoy your time in Azeroth or Outlands or Kalimdor or whatever place you play, Northrend when it comes out. Play what you want. Play who you want. Play as you want. I hear a lot of, you have to either be a bear tank or a resto druid or you're useless to a raid. Or you should go roll a priest because we're low on priests these days. Or you should go roll a tank because we really need tanks these days and we could really use your help. And I know this is gonna cause some problems with my guild. I know there's gonna be some people who are gonna be very angry with me when I say this. But screw it. If the people you play with can't accept the class you play, if you find that you absolutely detest healing, don't go roll a priest. Because if you get bored out of your mind sitting in the back and healing, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to stop playing. Well, where's that gotten anybody? They went from having somebody they can't always use to somebody who's never around to use anyway. What the hell's the use? If all you do is log in so that your guild has a healer, where's your enjoyment of the game? Sure, you're helping your guild. It's great. It's very noble of you. But your guild's not paying your tab. They're not giving you game time. They're not paying for the game. They didn't buy the game for you. If they did, you're very lucky. But in most cases, the guild did not buy you your game. So then the question remains, who are you playing for? Why are you playing? Tell me that, answer me that question, and I'll be very happy because I have yet to find anybody who can answer me that question. Why do you play? Do you play to raid? If so, do you care what you raid as? Does it matter to you at all whether you raid as a priest or would you rather raid as a DPS? Yes, DPS, as I've said before in this podcast and in articles, DPS is very plentiful in World of Warcraft. DPS and tanking are expected to get more plentiful as the next expansion comes out, because there will be a tanking / DPS class, the Death Knight, coming out in the expansion. Enjoy the game as you wish. If your enjoyment of World of Warcraft is sitting on your ass in Stormwind, just shooting the shit, great. Enjoy yourself, have fun. Go ahead and do it. Just make sure you don't break the rules and everybody should be happy with you. If you enjoy raiding, go ahead. Go raid until you are absolutely tired of seeing the same bosses again and again. If you enjoy DPS, if you enjoy PvP, do it. Just do what you enjoy and everything else should fall into place. I guess that's all I can say about that subject. There's an interesting post that I found here, and I want to touch on it a bit, and that is called Raid Dungeons for Everyone. Now, here's the problem. You can't have a raid dungeon for everybody. You can't. If you have a one-man raid dungeon, it's no longer a raid. If you have a five-man raid dungeon, it's no longer a raid, because that's just a five-man dungeon. I love the idea of scalable dungeons. I adore the idea, the thought of having a dungeon that improves itself or weakens itself based upon the number of players you have. If you have seven people, Karazhan adjusts itself. Maybe Ashman doesn't drop any badges of justice. Morose only drops one. And basically the bosses that would normally drop one don't drop any. For something like Romeo and Juliet opera event or some of the other opera events, only one of them would drop a badge. This is the story that is weakened or not quite as good. Or instead of having two epic drops off of a boss, you'd only have one. That's basically the idea behind a scalable dungeon. I love the idea, but it'd be very difficult for Blizzard to create. And I would honestly rather them work on more 5-mans and heroics, maybe some more 10-man dungeons, than to take the time and the energy required in order to allow players to enter a dungeon with a varying number of people. I guess that's just me. Another thing that Blizzard, and this is actually coming from a guild conversation on my guild forums. The guild is the Shadowwalkers. The guild site is shadowwalkersguild.com. You can actually find a section for all things Azeroth there as well. The discussion was hero classes. Are you looking forward to the hero classes coming out with the Death Knight? One of our members asked the question of, why can't Blizzard do more? Why can't they give us more of what we want in the game? I've argued on my writings and in my podcast here that there should be more hero classes with this expansion. There should be a healing / DPS hero class at the very least, just to even out things a bit. Well, that's great. I love the idea and it's a great idea. But here's the problem that we have, in that if they create more hero classes, if they create a whole section of hero classes and make them truly heroic like people want, people complain a lot about the hero class isn't hero, isn't epic enough for them. Here's the problem though. If they make it epic enough for you, if they make 9 hero classes with 3 to 4 offshoots of each hero class, guess what? What's going to happen to your regular classes? If they make those hero classes epic, if they make 25 or 27 or even 30 hero classes, then they have to do it with the old classes. You can't have a truly heroic Death Knight, Shadow Priest, Demon Hunter combo. You can't have all of that facing off in a 3-man arena with a priest, a mage, and a hunter. It just doesn't work. And yes, I'm sure that's not a very good example, but you can't have 3 current classes against 3 epic hero classes. And here's the problem. I feel, and I've said it in this article, if they were to create truly epic hero classes, it would have to be almost a new version of the game. You have a paladin right now. Well, in WoW 2, which is the equivalent of EverQuest 2, you would have essentially only hero classes. You upgrade to that game and it's a whole new game. You have no access to your old classes at all. That is the only way that I can see hero classes that are truly epic actually working. The only way they can bring hero classes into the game we currently have is as they are. They start high-end. They start in the 50s or 60s. They start out well-geared. They start out knowing a lot. They already have a lot of abilities. They already know what they're doing. There's no 1 to 70 for them. It's 50 to 70 or 60 to 70 or 55 to 70 or 80, I guess, is when they'll be out. That's the only way they can do it, without having to redo everything. I love the idea. This should almost be a Realm Fantastic. I would love the idea of epic hero classes, an entire new range of epic hero classes. But that expansion would take about 3 years to make, and would be called WoW 2. It cannot be done in the current game, not without having to give up entirely the interaction with lower characters. Let me know what you think of this idea. Let me know if you agree with me, disagree with me, if you think that I'm absolutely full of shit. That again is med2008 at allthingsazeroth.com. I look forward to hearing from everybody on their opinions. I want to hear what you have to say about this. I want to get your thoughts, your opinions, and perhaps even your reactions to this suggestion. If you want more information on the topic, go to shadowwalkersguild.com. Before I continue on with the stories that I had, I want to read a bit of listener email. I've got a couple of emails that I've received in the last couple of weeks, and some great feedback, some great interaction with listeners, so I definitely wanted to read that to you here. Jennifer, who actually now has a character on Argent Dawn, writes the following. Medros. Oh my god, I love that song at the beginning. That Murloc noise is just perfect. Where did you find it? It cracks me up. Would love to play it on my podcast, providing it is okay to do that. Is it PodSafe Music Network or some other approved music for podcast sites? Sadly not. As far as cheating is concerned, I think that people who buy a bunch of gold somewhere outside of the game and then use it to buy stuff in WoW are cheating. The whole point was to earn the gold while playing the game and then gradually be able to buy something big, like a mount, I just can't see how it would be any fun if you just instantly had enough gold for that, and skip all of the game-playing experience necessary to earn the gold. Why do these people play WoW in the first place? I think they are missing the whole point. On a somewhat different subject, but still in WoW, how are the guild banks working out? I used to play an online game similar to WoW years and years ago called Meridian. Don't think it exists anymore. In that game, they had something very similar to what I think the guild banks are in World of Warcraft. It caused all kinds of problems. People would take stuff out that didn't belong to them without permission, making the rightful owner of the stuff angry. Everyone in the entire guild had the password to the bank and so on. When someone was angry with the guild or planning to leave, he or she would raid the bank and then quit the guild. Often these people would store the stolen goods on a mule character, then make an entirely new character, and then take back the stolen goods, essentially disappearing without a trace and without facing any consequences for their actions. Sometimes these same people would give out the bank password to all kinds of people who weren't in the guild, but could raid the bank too. And now that I think about it, I would consider all of these actions a form of cheating. Is that sort of thing happening in the guild banks in World of Warcraft? Just wondering. Okay, this is getting long and maybe boring, so I'll stop now. It was very nice to talk to you on the Hyper Nonsense live test the other night. See you on ID, Jen. That is, of course, hypernonsense.com. This is her podcast with her husband, Sean. And I was on their show for their January 30th test for their New Year's Eve podcast they were doing just to make sure that everything still worked and everything would be okay. As for the questions, guild banking is different than that a little bit. It's not password-based, it's permission-based. Now, here are some problems with permission-based guild banking. First off, automatically starting out of the gate, no one has access to the guild bank except for the guildmaster. This is a good thing, but it also has some problems. The first problem that it has is that, well, how can I put it? If you want somebody to have access to something, just one thing, there's no way to do it. The second thing is that if you give access to people to get stuff, they can get access to a lot of stuff. Blizzard in 2.3.2 released a feature for the guild banking called Withdraw Repair Only. That means somebody who has access to that, who's a raider or whatever, can access the guild bank, but only for the purpose of repairing their items. There's nothing beyond that that they have access to. One of the bugs that did crop up after the patch was released was that if I had a guild, and I was the guild master of that guild, and I disbanded the guild and joined another guild, I would retain access to the guild bank that I had given myself in my previous guild. So people were essentially scrunching up 10 people to sign a guild charter, becoming guild master, quitting the guild, joining another guild, raiding that guild, sending all stuff to the other guild, rejoining that guild as the guild master, and then going to another guild, and on and on and on. Other times people were watching at the auction houses, watching guilds and how they interacted with the guild bank, and then pretending once somebody logged off to be an alt of that person. Well, this doesn't really, you know, make sense, but other officers were allowing that person into the guild as an alt of an officer being given the same rights to the guild bank as the officers were, and that generally means full access. Person would then clean out the guild bank, take all the cash, and then proceed to move on to the next target. This would happen a fair bit, and the only thing Blizzard can work on is the bug that allowed people to have access, as they previously had in their previous guild. But what is called a spoofing or a social engineering attack, where you pretend to be somebody you aren't, that is only solved by the human equation, and that is to teach your people, teach your members of your guild, to trust no one. This, unfortunately, is a bad thing, because if you trust people to say, be who they say they are, well, you're going to be disappointed, because people who have a right to that, who can prove that they are able to do that, well, they're going to be frustrated because they can't access what they want or what they feel they should be able to access. So, Jen, thanks again for that email, and I'm very glad you chose to email me. The next email comes from Jesse. I want to let you know that I love your podcast and will keep listening to them as long as you make them. You get straight to the point and keep your content fresh. I'm a noob to this podcast and only started listening about a month ago, but I'm hooked. Though I got to say there's something missing. Something I can't really put my finger on. I do think that a co-host would make a nice addition to the cast, as well as some WoW-themed background music, which was on the last episode, but not over the couple episodes before that. I started playing WoW about 3 months after it came out and played casually till about a month before Burning Crusade came out. About the time Burning Crusade came out was when my son was born, and I took an 8-month break. Now I've started playing again about 2 weeks ago, and it's like I've started playing the game all over again. This is frustrating, annoying, but also interesting and intriguing. I like what they've done with the game thus far, and I'm interested to see what is on the horizon. But with my hiatus also came some rude players. I know that WoW has rude players, but some are just flat out rude. I was in the Outlands and came across another hunter with one of the newer pets. I asked him where he got it, and he started calling me a noob, loser, and other things I don't really want to say. Not too long after that, another hunter walked up and invited me to his guild. After the welcomes, they started to tell me how I should spec my hunter in order to be better for the guild. That same hunter told me to drop guns and stick with bows. I told the guild that I pay the monthly fee for my enjoyment, not theirs, so I G-quit. Then I thought about it. Do I have to do things I don't want to do to get where I want to be in World of Warcraft? So after asking that question, I'm rethinking my WoW playing style. Cheating. In my opinion, cheaters are those who use outside tools in order to gain an advancement, i.e. bots, playing gold, duping items, etc. I also think that power leveling is not cheating. My wife started playing with me 2 weeks ago. With my level 62 hunter, I leveled her so that she and I can continue together as one. WoW commercials. Girl, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I think that she would make a great commercial as a Night Elf hunter. Talking about how she would always get the cute pets and how affectionate she is towards her lovable turtle slash polar bear. Then she can say about her pet and wanting the cute blood of the horde or something. Sorry if this email is kind of weird, but I wrote it during my 8-hour workday in between shifts, breaks, and working schedules. Thanks, Jesse Horde Vargoth 62 Hunter Destromath. Thanks very much, Jesse, and some really good comments and really good points there. I think I addressed your comment about doing other things people want you to do instead of how you want to play World of Warcraft earlier in the show. Let me know if you have any comments or questions or anything else you'd like me to address on that subject. As for cheating, when I say power leveling, I mean paying somebody to play your character for you, who is a professional, who knows everywhere to be, everything to do, and how to expertly level your character as quickly as possible. Not helping other people. I don't mean a level 70 helping a level 10. I mean a level 70 playing a level 10 and power leveling that person so that they are level 70 as quickly as possible. That's what power leveling is to me. As for your suggestion for the WoW commercial, I love that idea. I don't know much of Jennifer Love Hewitt's work anymore, but when I do recall her, she would definitely be the Night Elf Huntress type of person. Just a thought on that, of course. Thanks again, Jesse and Jen, for both emailing me. I do hope that you guys continue to listen to the podcast, and do let me know what you guys think of how I read your emails and make sure I captured you just right. That again is med2008@allthingsazeroth.com. And as the show now is at 1 hour and 10 minutes unedited, and that'll probably be about 55 minutes or so edited, I do want to pretty much call it here. I want to thank GoToMeeting as a sponsor for the last month of December. I did enjoy doing the spots for them, and I did enjoy giving some promotion to them, and I do hope that they'll continue or choose to come back in 2008 as a new sponsor of All Things Azeroth. I will put the rest of these links in the show notes. Some I will be saving for the next episode of All Things Azeroth, and I do hope that everybody comes back for the next episode of All Things Azeroth, starting our first episode of our second year. Again, if you want to send me an email, send it to med2008@allthingsazeroth.com. If you want to provide any commentary, any voice feedback, we're going to be having a contest soon. It's going to be an awesome contest. It's going to be great. The prize will be something that people are paying a lot of money on eBay for, and I do hope that everybody will look forward to that. Submit content and submit submissions for the contest, and good luck to everybody who does enter to that. The contest will be announced our first episode of February, and it'll last about a month till about the first episode of March. And I do hope, again, that everybody will enter and that we'll have lots of creative and enthusiastic entries. Thank you again for tuning in. I do hope that we'll see you back here for the next episode. If you want more information about the podcast, go to allthingsazeroth.com. If you want to give forum-based commentary or discuss the show or topics of the show, go to shadowwalkersguild.com. Just sign up for an account. Let me know that you're there as a listener, and I'll make you an honored guest as I'm an officer of the guild. And again, I do hope you guys will all come back. This has been your one-year anniversary show for All Things Azeroth, and I do hope that you'll enjoy the shows coming up in 2008. We'll see you back here. Again, take care. Happy hunting. See you in Outlands. This has been a Dwight Woolridge production, and as such is copyright 2007-2008 by Dwight Woolridge Productions. Please visit us at allthingsazeroth.com. The prize is going to be something that people are paying hundreds of gold for on WoW.